Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you record all the great ideas from the LeadX Show for future reference? And how did I actually get started? Welcome to the Friday wrap-up show, everyone. I'm going to answer those reader questions in just a minute. But first, we have got an amazing wrap-up show for today. I'm excited. We're going to do a few different things. But first, you know, I got to say congratulations and good job. You know, being a LeadX listener again this week. Once again, just living my life, I saw the danger this week. But I ain't worrying about you and your family because you got it figured out. I was walking into a Panera, fast food joint, and the sign on the front door said, "Skip the line, order with our brand new kiosks." And I walked in, and of course, there's like 10 kiosks lined up. And only one person working the register for the old-fashioned way. Now, this, of course, is at this point like old news. I mean, all the quick food restaurants in New York and major cities have been using these. Here, I've got where I live something called Wawa, which is like a 7-Eleven for the rest of you in the United States. They've been using these kiosks to order your sandwiches and stuff. And of course, grocery stores. And I was just in a Target in Philadelphia. You know, they all have these lanes where you just check yourself out. I was kind of surprised to see it in Target in Philadelphia because I thought, I don't know, this is like, I guess some kind of bias I have. I just thought they'd have more people stealing from them, you know, sneaking merchandise out the door without actually swiping it. But they're doing it. I think whatever increase in shrinkage, they call it a shrinkage, theft in retail, whatever increased shrinkage is offset by not having to pay all these salaries or paying these wages for human workers. So this idea is spreading. The robots, I mean, kiosks will, you know, replace more and more cashiers. Are they going to replace all of them? No. There's always going to be a human or two, you know, there to help out, to solve problems, to maintain the kiosks and to work the cash register for old folks or others who just don't like to use those kiosks. But how many are they going to have? If they use 10 cashiers now, you know, maybe they'll have one or two that are still employed doing that job. You know, who are they going to keep out of those 10 workers? You know, the one who's just kind of going through the motions, the one who's just showing up and earning their, but whatever it is, $8 an hour, $10 an hour, $15 an hour. Or are they going to keep the top one or two out of 10, the top 10%, the top 20%? They're going to pick the people who are dedicated to getting better every single day, who are a little bit ambitious, that want to move up. You know, the answer is we've got to be in that top or 20%. This isn't about cashiers. It's not about truck drivers or taxi cab drivers. It's also about doctors. It's about accountants. It's about middle managers. It's about our futures. So you know you have to be a lifelong learner to stand out and to get ahead. You know the LeadX Show is the smartest way to start your day. I hope you'll text a friend. Say, "Yo, friend, LeadX. It's the smartest way to start your day. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you going to leadx.org? Yo, if you're my friend, then you're listening to the LeadX Show." Yep, that's the exact text you should be sending to all of your friends. All right, real quick, iTunes review shout out of the week. It comes from Mike Duggan Photography. And he wrote, "Each segment provides new insights and motivation for improving each and every day. A great way to be productive while traveling or waiting on flights." I know personally, I've been listening to more and more podcasts while I'm on airplanes instead of, you know, watching movies. Mike Duggan, thanks for the rating and review. Send an email to kevin@leadx.org because I want to ship you out a free t-shirt. And I think we're just ordering some LeadX coffee mugs today. Maybe we'll start shipping out some coffee mugs. So please, if you haven't already done it, go on up to iTunes, search up the LeadX Show, subscribe, leave a rating, a one-sentence review, and then just let me know and I'll add you to the Facebook Ambassador Program. And you know what? You go up there and leave a review. It only takes a minute. I'll come over and I'll babysit your kids. Yeah, I will. Or I'll wash your car. But you have to live like within 30 minutes of wherever I'm at. But yeah, it means that much to me to go leave a rating and review. Hey, we've got something really unusual here today for the wrap-up show. One of our listeners, Chuck Letty, reached out to tell us about how he took action on one of our episodes. And I like this story so much, I decided to reach out to him so that he could tell us his story in his own words. Now, we've never done this before, and I have to warn you, I had to call Chuck on his mobile phone, so the audio isn't quite as strong as we would like, but I think it's worth it to hear him tell his own story in his own words. And after this 5-minute conversation, I'll be back solo and we'll take a couple listener questions and I'll give my answers. But first, here's my call with Chuck Letty. So Chuck, welcome to the show. And let's start by having you just, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin. First of all, it's a pleasure. I'm a freelance content marketer, basically a writer. I write for clients around the topic of employee engagement. So my largest client is ADP, but I also write for American Express. I'm also writing for an employee wellness vendor in Toronto called League. This is a new client of mine. So I'm writing a lot about employees' engagement and wellness. I really enjoy doing that. I get to read a lot of books, talk to a lot of smart people like yourself. And that's pretty much my work, learning and sharing.
I always, jokingly say great minds think alike, and because in this case, you and I both have a passion for employee engagement. So I appreciate that you're spreading the word about that important topic as well. And I'm just curious, as a solopreneur, as an entrepreneur, do you have any, goals in mind for your business and things? I'm not sure how long you've been independent now and what your year is looking like, but how do you think about your own career growth?
Sure. It's a really good question. I was teaching part-time and writing part-time. I did that for about 10 years, but then last May, so it's been exactly a year, I went on my own writing full-time, and it's been a great pleasure to run my own business and find clients. It can be, there's always worries about diversifying your client base and business concerns that you might not have working for a company, but it's great to run your own ship. I really do enjoy that. I try to follow my curiosity.
Right.
Like what kind of things engage my mind and get me interested in learning more? So I'm looking for those things as I write and as I work and as I find clients. And employee engagement is so complex, so multidisciplinary, it continues to engage myself.
Yeah, there's a lot of different angles to come at it, and it sounds like you're curious by nature, which feeds your work, and that makes me wonder, how did you first discover the LeadX show?
Actually, it was from a tweet from Joy Clark. She's a Twitter friend and a friend, and I saw that she had been interviewed by you and had mentioned the three-word exercise, and I thought, oh, this is curious. Let me access this. So I read the article that accompanied the podcast, and then listened to the podcast, and I was turned on. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, this is interesting feedback for me that Twitter actually does work a little bit for finding new listeners. You never know if all that time putting that we put into social media is worth it. But in this case, it led us to you. And so tell me, remind all of our listeners, which episode was it? What was Dori Clark talking about in that episode that kind of caught your fancy?
Yeah, she was talking about self-branding and specifically the three-word exercise as a way to discover your personal brand. Of course, Dori believes that your brand is already in existence. It's not something you can manufacture, but it's something you can discover and perhaps make some adjustments on, but it's already in existence, so you have to find out where it is. And that got me interested.
So let's dive into the details. Now, this is an exercise where, Dori said if we really want to, get a jump start on figuring out our brand, at least how others may see us, our strengths, our uniqueness, we should email a whole bunch of people, friends, clients, whoever we want, and ask them, what three words come to mind when, they're thinking of us, and we gather that up. And you did this. You took it to heart And you sent, tell us, how many emails did you send out?
Right after listening to the podcast, I put together a template, a kind of a 3-sentence email, and I sent it to 19 people, friends, associates, clients, editors that I write for, and sent it out and waited for the response.
And how many words back did you get? How many responses did you get?
I got 13, so I got 39 words total.
Now, Chuck, I got to ask, like, if now I haven't actually done this myself. Your actions make me want to do it, but it makes me nervous. It's like, oh, what if they send back some words that I'm not going to like to be associated with? Were you nervous about getting some feedback you might not want to receive?
I mean, my brand is already out there, so I think getting feedback and being able to accept feedback, honest feedback, is something that I want to get better at doing. So yes, there was fear, but it's also part of the learning process to take feedback well and do something constructive with it. But yes, there was fear.
And they often say, you know, we can use fear as a compass as long as it's not going to put us into danger. We should lean into it a little bit. So yes. What were the results? What came back from it?
So I have the top 6 words that came back. 9 of the words, 9 of the 39, almost 25%, were around friendly, affable, and kind. So that's something I expected. That's something I actually tried to put out there in the way that I interact with people. So I was happy to see that. The second was reliable and diligent. So getting things done on time. Those 2 adjectives, reliable, diligent. 6 out of the 39 words were around that. The third, I suppose, would be creative and intelligent. 5 for each one. I separate those because I think they're different things. So those were the third and fourth for me.
And these are great traits, you know, given what you do for a living. I mean, for the outside contractors, freelancers, my partners in business,
right,
to hear that, first of all, life is short, so we all want to work with people who we like. So, you know, to find someone who's friendly and kind, but is hitting the deadlines and is creative and smart. I mean, that's pretty much sums up what I would look for in someone.
Great. This is the feedback that I wanted. And it aligns with the brand that I want to create. So I don't have a lot of work to do. So the exercise was confirming and makes me kind of happy.
Yeah, that's a great word that you just used because, I mean, to some, this could be a discovery exercise where it's like, wow, I didn't realize that I came off in this way and it's good news or maybe it's bad news. And other times, this just might be confirming that you're doing a good job of,
right,
you know, what you're putting out there is what people are hearing and seeing.
It should be that way. Yes, exactly.
So you mentioned you don't have a lot of work to do. You feel, you know, this is a confirming exercise. I mean, did anything else from that episode or the follow-up exercise, you know, trigger any new ideas for your personal brand or your own, you know, marketing for the rest of this year?
So what I did is I went back to my social media and I looked at whether I had those words, those themes in my social media feeds, you know, in my profiles, et cetera. And I made changes to my profile. I actually added the 3 top words in my LinkedIn profile, my Twitter profile, just to get them out there so that people can know. It also helps me think about myself. It kind of makes me feel more comfortable about what I'm doing, that I am trying to be affable and friendly to clients, to attract and retain clients, that I'm smart and creative. So it helps me kind of work harder and keep on doing what I'm doing. But it helps in social media to brand yourself.
Yeah, this is, Chuck, I'm glad you shared that because, you know, listeners, I think sometimes we don't take action on some of these episodes because it can seem like a lot of time. But you know, Chuck, you were able to, within minutes, take the feedback, go onto your social media profiles, and just edit them a little bit to get the words in there to strengthen the brand. So an immediate action. That's great.
Exactly. And when people see that, and if they know me at all, they'll be like, yeah, that's Chuck. There'll be no dissonance between what the social media profile says and what they know about me. And that's good when you're authentic. The more authentic, the better.
Right, right. So, Chuck, final question for you. Let's say you come across a friend who hasn't heard of or is not yet a listener of the LeadX show, who doesn't read the articles on LeadX.org. What would you tell her?
I would say that there's a lot to be learned and you should access this great material. If you want to grow and get better at what you do, then you have to learn. And this is a great source for learning.
Love it. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Chuck.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was fun. I love talking to real listeners about how they're using the LeadX show. And, you know, if you've taken action from an episode, you've gotten some good results from reading LeadX.org or listening to the LeadX show, please drop me a line. Let me know about it. I'm at kevin@leadx.org. Just let me know. So the first reader question of the week comes from Melanie. And Melanie wrote in and said, "One question I have, how do you record the key points that resonate with you for future reference?" So Melanie, I actually get this question quite a bit because people are saying there's so many great challenges of the day, so many great key points, like how do you keep track of it all? And I got to be honest, you know, when I did the research and did interviews with over 300 highly successful people for my book, 15 Secrets Successful People Know About Time Management, one of the secrets was to keep a notebook. You know, that's what Richard Branson has said has built, you know, his Virgin Brands and his billion, you know, dollar net worth is the notebook. It's a classic recommendation from so many success gurus of the past. And I personally, you know, have found, and I use a paper-based notebook. A lot of others will use digital, but I think carrying a paper-based notebook is a life changer, you know, to document not just notes from every meeting, every call, you should certainly do that, but also any ideas you have, any lists that you are making. And, you know, I was kind of schooled, Tom Ziegler, the son of legendary Zig Ziegler, told me, he says, "Kevin, you know, you're not even using your notebook to its full potential." He says, "Your notebooks are your legacy. At some point, you know, when we're long gone, our children are going to look up on our bookshelves and see all of our life's notebooks, and they can, you know, read them, and they should be reading not just what we did at work, the meetings and the calls, but the quotes that inspired us, the brainstorms, the new ideas, the special moments." He says, you know, you should really be journaling, not just for yourself, but for others. And for me, I always like to write down key ideas, you know, whether I've gotten them from a podcast, gotten them from a book, gotten them from a conversation. You know, that's what I do is just write them down in my notebook. Now I even have something that's kind of weird. I will write these things down in the back of my notebook. So as I'm writing notes, work-related notes, like everyday meetings or whatever, I go, you know, from the front of the book to the back, kind of left to right, which is what you'd normally do. But if I'm taking notes that I want to kind of keep for myself, again, these key ideas, great ideas, I put them from the back of the book working backwards. That way, when I've filled the notebook up and I'm ready to start a new one, I go to the back of the book and I reread all these things that I've learned and that I want to remember. And sometimes I'll rewrite them because I want to keep them in my new notebook so I can look at them again. Other times I'll take pictures of these pages and send them into Evernote because I do use a digital, I think of Evernote more as a filing system than a note system. But I, that way, and my you know, friends at work will often say, they'll say something, I'm like, "Oh, that's a great idea." And they'll be like, "Is it back of the book worthy, Kevin?" Because they know the real good stuff, I'm going to write it down, but in the back of my notebooks. So whatever method you have, you know, is for you, Melanie, but I think it's great. And you know what? I just got an email. We'll share this out very soon from, you know, a Canadian friend and listener, Kauru. She runs a tea shop, by the way, up in Ontario, Canada. Cha-Cha Tea. So if you live in Ontario, go into the tea shop and online, it's chachatea.com. Check it out. Although she can only ship in Canada at this time. But she sent this awesome email with a picture of her daily notebook. And she has one full page in her notebook every day that she's sitting down, listening to the LeadX show, jotting down the key points, the challenge of the day. And she's also using it as her, I won't say to-do list, but like calendar, because she's properly writing down the key times and key tasks, especially most important tasks in her day. And she even jots down like our little logo. It's beautiful. It's amazing. So we're going to share that as well. So yeah, and you know, just brainstorming and kind of previewing, we're going to be doing other things. Like as we hit episode 100 pretty soon, we're going to be doing some ebooks, some regular books. that we'll have perhaps a collection of all the challenges of the day or the best ones. We're going to collect all the failure stories from our guests and put it into one volume. So we'll have other ways that we can collect some of the great content, the value bombs, as I like to say, from our guests. So thanks for that. And let's see, Melanie, of course, if we haven't already shipped you a t-shirt, then email me, kevin@leadx.org, with your snail mail address, and we'll get one out to you. The other question we had is, let's see, from our friend T. Thompson. TC says, hey, in today's podcast with So Bell, one of the power questions you both use is, so how did you get started? So for a Friday rant, I would love to know the answer to that question about you. TC, thanks for that question, and I'll try to do a short version of this because the long version, I usually wait until I can bore people face to face. I think a lot of you have maybe heard my origin story. I think all of you, as part of your personal brand, should figure out your zero to hero story. So I'm going to just summarize mine. For those of you who don't know, so I'm the founder and CEO of LeadX, which is the newest startup. And, this is, depending on how you count them, my fifth or sixth company. Some of my previous companies have crashed and burned, but I've had several that have done well that I've sold. So I really view myself more as an entrepreneur than an author or a speaker or even a podcaster. And I can remember, basically, it was when I was, I think it was about 10 years old, I kind of had a scare where I was just playing on the front lawn and this big, scary guy. He only had one arm. He was dressed in a suit, had mirrored sunglasses. He marched up onto the lawn and he was looking for my dad. And it turns out, and I didn't realize this, my dad, who had started his own company, he went out of business. He went broke. And this guy was a bill collector. And I can remember, that night talking to my dad about it. And I asked him, are you scared? Are you scared about this one-armed man? And he said, no. And I said, why not? And my dad looked up and he said, because there's nothing left for them to take. And literally, we lost everything. We had to move out of our house. My dad lost everything. And this was, a failed startup story, a failed business story. But that night I wrote in my journal, even as a whatever year old kid, I said, I don't care what it takes, but when I grow up, I'm going to have a lot of money. And that sounds funny right now because most of online money stuff is all about the cars and the homes and all that. And I definitely have toys that I like. But, writing that, it wasn't about, I'm going to be rich so I can have a Corvette or whatever. It was about making sure no one-armed man was ever going to throw me out of my house again, right? It was not going to, I could see how hard this was on my dad. It didn't really feel that hard to me. I didn't like moving out of my house. I won't lie, but I really saw that this hurt my dad. And so in my mind from that age, I knew that I wanted to be independently wealthy. And that meant starting up my own company, which I did right out of college. And the first two companies crashed and burned. They failed miserably. Third time was a charm. And after 5 years, I sold that company. And then I've done it a couple more times. So TC, long story short-ish, is that, I decided to be an entrepreneur, seeing, a failed entrepreneurship story with my father and didn't want to have that financial risk. Now, starting a company for the money is actually the wrong reason. I don't recommend it. I didn't know what I was doing. For my 20s, life was miserable because I was building a company, but it wasn't because I was making the world a better place. It wasn't because it was fun. It was because I felt the dragons were outside the door. It was out of fear, and you shouldn't be living out of fear. But I didn't understand that back then. Now I build businesses because, I want to make an impact. LeadX is all about, how can we provide world-class leadership training and professional development to anyone, anywhere, at any time, free of charge. And right now we're doing that through podcasts and articles and ebooks. And very soon it's going to be through online courses. Total game changer for the corporate training, the professional development industry. But anyway, I digress. So that's my zero to hero story. That's how I got started. and I'm sticking to it. So thanks, TC. Appreciate that. And let's see. For next week, I got to remind you. Well, heck, I'm in Nashville next week. So give a shout out if you're in Nashville. I think I'm going to be there for most of the week, believe it or not. But when it comes to Monday, and I'll be in Nashville, don't forget, you're going to wake up in the morning and, of course, tie your shoes and turn on LeadX before you go for that morning jog. Turn on LeadX when you turn on your car and begin your commute. However you do it, make sure to get your daily dose. And next week, I mean, I thought this week was stacked. This week was stacked. Next week is another mind-blowing week. We got Dr. Judson Brewer, literally number one physician, psychiatrist in the world on using mindfulness to break bad habits. He's worked with people with smoking addictions, alcohol, drug, etc. His book's called The Craving Mind. Fascinating talk with Dr. Brewer. And then we've got Sally Hogshead. We were just talking about personal branding with Chuck earlier on this show. Well, Sally Hogshead wrote a book about fascination, and there's a free fascination quiz that all LeadX listeners are going to be able to take so that you can see how the world sees you. And you get like labeled as, I can't remember what my label is right now, but it's very cool. And we've got a pastor, Mark Batterson, who's the lead pastor at National Community Church in Washington, D.C. You know, I've gotten some emails saying, Kevin, I guess you don't interview like clergy and religious leaders and all that. And that's not true. It's not that I don't. I, you know, we choose interesting, you know, people who have great life stories or expertise, authors, etc. And I just haven't encountered a lot of them. And man, I love my conversation with Mark. Love the work Mark's doing in Washington, D.C. You know, he runs his churches out of coffee shops and theaters and, you know, bought a building that was across the street from a, how should we say, I guess, gentleman's club is the polite way to say it, because he wants to bring the church to where the people are. I really love what Mark is doing. His book's called Chase the Lion. And then, okay, next Friday, we're not doing the normal wrap-up show. I am flying to Los Angeles and live interviewing the CEO of the second fastest digital media company in the world. They're the ones that do Cooking Panda, like you might know them on Facebook, or Opposing Views. And his company is 90% millennials. So all you millennial haters out there, oh, they're so hard to manage. Oh, they're lazy. Oh, they want to be CEO the next day. His entire company is filled with millennials. And he talks about growing, you know, fast growing, how to build a fast growing digital media company and how to lead millennials. Next week is ridiculous content. Don't miss an episode. All right. As we move into the weekend, how can you take your learnings from this week and apply them to your family? We had power questions with Andrew Sobel. Maybe you want to ask your spouse or your significant other, what's on your mind? Or what aren't we talking about that we probably should be? Or if you're really courageous, what's the most important thing in our relationship we should be discussing today? Woo! Power questions for your relationships. And, you know, Kim Scott, again, created first leadership training program at Apple, her book, Radical Candor. So her model is we need to care deeply and challenge directly. Think about it with your teenagers, with your little kids even. If all we do is care but don't challenge them with some appropriate rules, with some guidance, you know, we're not doing our job to get them ready to be adults. And if all we do is challenge them and correct them and we don't have that matched with care and love, they're going to take the wrong message away. So as you think about Kim Scott's messages for, you know, radical candor, it is challenging directly. Don't pull your punches, but caring deeply. Friends, have a great day. And please, this weekend, walk mindfully in leadership.